go. If you could confirm your full name, please.
It's Kevin Roberts.
Thank you. And your date and place of birth?
Oh, 12th of 2nd, 1962 at Ditchburn.
Lovely, so very local.
Yeah.
And have you lived here ever since?
I had a 2-year break.
And when did you come to work at the depot?
1988.
And was that your first job?
No.
What did you do before that?
Well, before I done that, I started off as an apprentice on Kerridge. And then they went into liquidations and they had a company called Farrans, which is still running. But then they sold up the assets and moved out from Cambridge. And then I went on to, because I was in the middle of an apprenticeship, I went on to the CITB scheme for 3 months. And then I finished my apprenticeship with Wins in Histon.
And what was your apprenticeship in specifically?
Carpentry, joinery and machinery. Right.
And so when you came here, what did you come here to do?
Carpenter joiner. I was a carpenter really originally because it was advertised two carpenters, and me and my partner basically come in and he said, I don't want to work in the joinery shop. So I said, well, I've done it before. So I went in there and I've been here ever since.
And so when you came here, there was the woodworking shop. Can you tell me, I've got the site plan here, whereabouts was it when you first came?
Sorry, you're right. Give me glasses, because otherwise I won't be able to work. Let's have a look at this plan.
I think this is the most up-to-date one I've got.
Where are we? Where's the entrance? Entrance?
Yep, there you go.
Go down there. The woodworking shop started from about there.
Yep.
And went all the way through to there.
Right, and from right the towards there? The rear gate was then the paint shop, is that right? Or was that gone by the time you came?
No, you had the paint shop, you had the old plumber's shop all in together. You had some toilets there as well. I'm trying to think what else was right down the end. I think that might have been the plumber's shop. But yeah, you had the plumber's and PTR shop as well. There was prior to repainting. So you had like a few thing bobs, then you had the joinery shop, then you had the machine shop, then you had the stores all the way through, because the stores went from about here all the way through.
And when you started, what sorts of things were you actually doing in the workshop? What sort of jobs?
Windows, doors. We done a bridge for the Chelsea Flower Show for one that was one of Graham Watts's little ones. We done bridges for the Lammersland meadows. We did fencing. You made up all the oak posts, but they don't do anymore. We had a backpack machine, which was the treatment plant, so you treated all the wood and timbers. What else did we do? Oh, we done loads. Well, basically we did everything.
And who were you? How many of you were in the workshop when you started?
When I started, you had Graham White, Sean White, Mick Wilson, who was the foreman, myself in the joiner shop. You also helped out in the wood mill. The wood mill, there was Ken Lockwood, there was Gavin, I can't think of his second name, Gavin, and Mark Bawley in the wood shop. We also had some people, they had a scheme for people with learning difficulty, and we had a couple of them come in as well.
And so who, you were fresh out of, you'd just done your apprenticeship when you arrived,
No. I worked with Wins for a long while, but then their father died, so then the sons didn't get on, so then I went with Ray Wynn, who was a councillor over in Histon, and Mr. Fraser, and we was there for about a year and a half, 2 years, and then I just said, no, I've had enough. It's getting cold, it's getting harder to get to work, so I said, we'll come here. So we did. I was worked for about 10 years before coming.
Okay, so you were quite experienced by the time you got here. So was there anyone in the workshop who needed to kind of show you the ropes and tell you how it was done here, or were you the one who was showing everyone else how to do it?
No. Just let you get on with it. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, the stuff that they did here was just basic windows and things. It was not like the place where I come from, where we was doing stairs and things like that. Mm. You didn't do anything like that really here, which It's a shame, as I say. I used to enjoy doing things like that. You know, it was a rare mix that I had before. Like, Wins used to be boat builders, so you got a little bit of boat building, refurbishment of that. One of the Wins bought a plane, and we'd done a couple of the wings. We built the wings. We'd done a lot of work, really, for, like, the Moscow Olympics as well. So that was what you did over in Wins, and here it was more like door frames, doors, you know, just the general maintenance stuff. So it was pretty basic.
And were you, did you stay entirely in the workshop, or were you fitting at all?
Oh, no, we done lots of stuff. As I say, I didn't mind doing anything. If they wanted me to do it, I did it. Well, that weren't the only bit I'd done. I moved on from there. I've done loads of stuff after that. But, yeah, no, it was just if they needed somebody to go out, you'd go out and do it. Just straightforward, really.
So you just said you moved on. So was that, did you move on because you wanted to do something different, or did the workshop
shut?
They shut
the workshop.
Yeah. And when was that?
God, I don't know. No. It was a fair while ago now. It's got to be at least 15 years ago, I think. 10 or 15 years ago, they shut it. It was a shame because we did a lot of stuff, I mean, and then they found after they shut it, when they got the journey from Coulson's, that they had to wait another end of time, and it cost them a lot more, but there you go.
So then did you have to retrain? Were you?
No, it was quite interesting. I'm trying to think where I went. Then I went on to Vic Darnell's section, which was like the general maintenance. So I just went and done general maintenance. Me and Vic didn't really get on, so he sort of wanted me out. So I got transferred over to the blacksmith section. So I was over on the blacksmith section, which that's gone now. But we used to do road signs, the play equipment, anything carpentry, like the play equipment, like you've got the spring animals, where if you had a broken bit in, I'd go take the whole thing away, bring it in, make it all up, put it all back together, and then back out and refit it. We did road signs. So then we done some fencings and that. And I did a little bit of welding over there. I got sort of trained on the job over on welding on there, which was good. It was a good experience. That was new experience, and that was good.
And who did you work with in the blacksmith?
Andy Rowlandson. John Swan was the foreman. We had Tony Curry, we had Kevin, I'm not very good with names, by the way, Kevin Motley, I think his name was, and then there was a John, and that, there was quite a few people working in there. There was, again, we did all the repairs to the metal fences, like on the wrecks, and all the recreational stuff we mended ourselves. We also went out and done the inspections on them, which Andy does now, like all the nets and the playground equipment. So we did all that.
So were you then the only workshop there, the blacksmiths? Was that the only place on site at that point that was making?
No, yeah, the UPVC factory as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And some people retrained across, didn't they?
Retrained across when the UPVC factory shut. They trained across over to there when it opened. They trained everybody in it because it was new. And they did originally have a glass shop, which was over in the old that shed there, whatever you call it. It's a steel shed. That's the salt. It was in this bit here, in the back bit here,
right, where the toilets are now.
The toilets are there.
Right.
The actual workshop was in there.
Right.
And Emerson used to do the glass, which another little thing that I picked up, how to cut glass. Yeah. I just learned that. But they used to have got on that. And then they actually did try out here a double glazing unit to make the actual units, the sealed units, not the actual frames. But that didn't work out, so that closed. But that was only Emerson and somebody else, and that was over in the UPVC thing. So that was that.
And then they shut the blacksmiths?
And then they shut the blacksmiths.
Yeah, what happened then?
So then I moved over to the PTR, and I've done...
What's the PTR?
Prior to repainting. It's all site work, basically. They go out and they survey a load of houses. I think it was about £1 million a year they spent, and they'd hit an area, like you'd go say Romsey area, if you've got like Brooks Road, I just want to think the council house is Brooks Road, Nuttings Road, all the, like an area, and And you'd look at the doors, if the doors needed doing, door frames, wind frames, fascias, soffits, and you'd go and you'd just basically replace all the wood, put all the stuff in, and then they'd come along and paint it afterwards. So that's how they just maintained it, and they had a 7-year cycle originally, and then they got it down to 5-year, and now they don't do hardly any of that anymore. So it's another thing that they don't do, but that's because they put UPVC windows in, they put UPVC fascias. We've done a lot of fascias, soffits, seamless guttering. It's another thing we did on the blacksmith's, seamless guttering, another skill alert. Seamless guttering, I don't know if you've seen it along the building, right on that side here, all on there, they've got the seamless guttering. They used to do that, they've done it on East Road. We've done all the high level ones in Arbury as well. But yeah, all the fascias and that, and of course when you replace them with plastic, then you don't need to repaint, you don't have to repair, so that sort of reduced. But there were still doors and things, and then we got on to the not UPVC doors, I'm trying to think what they're called. They're a door which looks like plastic, it's got plastic coating, but full, it's not a UPVC one, but it's one of them they were putting in, so we done a load of them as well.
So that's PTR. And where was that based physically on the site? Where were you based when you were doing that?
Or
were you
all out and about? Basically, you had the office, but the sites were basically there. You had containers put out, so you had all your stuff in there. That's then I moved on to being the leading hand there. And then, as I say, on to site supervisor, and then on to union.
Yeah, so tell me about getting involved with the union. How did that come about?
Not by choice. To be quite honest, it isn't by choice. Well, I joined when I come, and then I became steward, and then we had John McLean originally, then we had a lady, well, I can't remember her name, she was only here 3 weeks, and then we had John Aldridge, and then we had Alan Costello, and then Richard O'Leary, and then Richard was moving on to become an officer, and they needed someone else to do it. Michael McDonald put his name forward, and so did Mark Plum, and Michael got the vote. He done it, but wasn't really for him, and it was a bit of a bust up, and then I said I'd take it on for a 6-month period, and I'm still here.
How long ago was that?
A long time.
Yeah.
About 10 years now.
Mm. Yeah. So you say you joined when you arrived. Was that an expectation that everyone joined when they were here? Was when you first started?
A lot
started?
Of people did. I mean, a lot of people joined.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, the terms and conditions were good. I mean, they did a good pay deal. John McLean done a good pay deal in 96. We had, as I say, some very good managers that worked with them as well, and I mean it was a lot easier then to get to agreements because it weren't so tight, but money's tight now. It's been a big learning curve. The first year was because I had to pick up, and there was no sort of like transfer, so it was a big learning curve, still learning. So
was there anyone around? Did you learn from other people, or did you have to start?
Both, really. I mean, Richard was very supportive of the officer because he still sort of stayed on for a little while and come in, sort of picked up. But when you've had somebody there for 6 or 7 months, you don't know what's happened. So it's quite a hard one. So that's why we're doing now. We're trying to get another person just in case I do decide that I want to go somewhere. Then we've got somebody because we're getting Lee to do 50% of the time as well.
So what do you spend, so what's your job title at the moment?
My job title, for Cambridge City Council, is site supervisor.
Okay, and what best describes what you actually do?
My title for where I'm seconded on to GMB is branch secretary.
Right, and what? How do you spend your days at the moment? What's a typical day look like?
There's not a typical day. There's all different things, as I say, I was on the phone there just a minute ago. You get inquiries because our branch also covers the county council. I've got 50% of my time now at the county, so I deal with schools. I go to care homes, I also deal with the restructures, you deal with job evaluation, you deal with grievances, disciplinaries, all sorts of things. You've got stewards that pick up a lot as well, but as I say, yeah, no, it's a right mix.
And are you involved, is the GMB involved with training as well still, or not so much?
Training on what?
Well, you tell me.
We used to put a lot of effort into training and learning days for the members, but the learning rep funding was cut, and there's no real such thing as a learning rep anymore, but there still are classing some people with learning reps, so the opportunity's in done. We used to set up open days, we've done a few open days. We also paid £10,000 towards the computers in the training room, so that was something that we put forward so people can access the actual thing. That was an agreement we had with Graham, you know, we pay for the computers, if you supplied the room, so we paid that. The open days were a bit of fun, you know, we'd have people coming in and they'd have like a fishing where you do it with like for spelling and everything, and we had an art class here where people just learn how to do art, but it was all to do with learning different things and just getting people involved in learning. But the training for the stewards is national, so you get that through any else, so yeah, so there's lots of training.
And how many stewards are there here?
Off the top of my head, 1, 2, and on the depot?
Yes, yeah.
At the depot we have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
And they spread out amongst the different...
Yeah, we've got the garage, the refuse, building maintenance, and... We haven't got one on Streets and Open Spaces. We used to have one on Streets and Open Spaces, but we haven't got one on there.
We're talking about the physical site and that things have moved around and some buildings have gone. Yeah. What are the main differences in the site from when you started and now? What would you think people would notice? Yeah.
It's a totally change. I mean, you had Nissan Huts down the back here.
Mm-hmm.
This big bit here weren't here, this big gap here weren't here, the compound weren't there. You had Nissan Huts and the road went in a loop. So you went round here, and then back out here. You had the canteen where you had Ruby, or I suppose you've heard about Ruby. You had the canteen where Ruby was. The stores, that's the same wall here. No, they were there originally, then they moved out to here. Big stores was never there. There was, as I say, the canteen and the wood store. That logged onto the back, which is what that wooden building is over there, outside the back of the stores. You had an old port cabin just outside the main house, where that was for the highways, because we had the highways in house and all. We did have another building here, but mysteriously it disappeared one day. Over a weekend, it was demolished. Don't know whether they actually had permission to do that or not, but it was right by the railway lines. So just a little house, one day just disappeared. So you had that, you had the wooden hut, which was the union hut, and then you down by, just past the wooden bit here, where you've got this bit here, past here, you used to have a wooden building all the way through,
right.
That's where we used to get our wages from, through the hole in the wall.
Cash in hand?
Yes. Cash. And they used to deliver it every week at the same time. I'm surprised they managed to get here every week. But yes, they used to pay you through there. So yeah, it totally changed. And then, as I say, they put the stores in, they done this, they done all the compounds, that was done. It was totally changed. The car park was put here. Absolutely everything changed.
And in terms of the numbers of people working here, has that gone down a lot?
It's gone down, yeah. It's gone down on the manual side. It's probably the amount of people is around about the same on the site, because there's about 300 or 400 on the site. But if you actually look at it, There's more office staff because you've got all these now offices which never used to be offices. You've got a lot more buildings for offices. So, yeah.
So what do you think will be lost to the city in terms of the services and having everyone together on this site in Mill Road when it closes and things start to...
I don't think you're... I've always said this. One service links into another service. When you start separating them, you will lose. You will lose because one of the things that I've always said, and I've been trying to get this through for years and years and years, but it does seem to fall on deaf ears, is we should be working more as a complete unit, not as separate ones. I mean, we still work separately, but we are interlocked. I mean, you know, when you think on it, the garage is linked into this, the refuse are also linked into the things. The refuse then is also linked into the stores. The stores is then linked into building maintenance. So they are all interlinked. And I think once you break those links, I think the services will be weak. And I think you won't provide the services what you'll get now. I think you'll get the service, but I don't think you'll get the other little extra bits, which would be a shame. But what I've always said is what they need to do is they need to start working. At the moment, they work quite independently in sort of like the refuse, a street's name space is that, building there. You know, if you're out and about, you're working for Cambridge City Council, which is what Antoinette's idea was originally as a one council. Now she's changed it as a one customer. But the one council would be, as far as I were concerned, is if you're going out and you see something, you report it. If you can deal with it, you deal with it. But because of all the constraints and the cuts and the modern technology, that's not happening. I mean, on the building maintenance side, you've got the handhelds. You had before the handhelds, you had the flexibility of doing other jobs in between. So you could say, this person's not in. Okay, yeah, okay, you're going to drop your children off. I can come back and see you in an hour. You can't do that now because you're appointments. So you're stuck. So you just say, sorry, I can't do it. Boom. So that's negative effect on it. And it's the same on if you see something that's there, like as I said, from one of my wings is bus shut. If the bus shut's smashed and it's all on the floor, the glass on the floor, and you're working just down the road and you've got a broom and a dustpan, why don't you go and clean it up? But you can't. So it's not a one council, it is very separated, and they need to start working more like that. If bush needs trimming, report it. So it needs trimming. If there's something that's broken, report it. That doesn't happen at the moment. It's a shame because when you think on it, you've got refuse that go around the whole of the city every week. You've got streets known spaces that go around most of the city probably in 3 months, every on a sort of 3 month rate or something like that. Building maintenance, you've got people going in every council that's near enough. And you can have a real source of information, which I just don't think they gather. I know it would take time, and it would be, but the source of information would be fantastic.
Is there anything you think I haven't asked you about? Anything about either your job or the site that you think would be of interest or you'd like to share?
No, as I say, it was a lot more fun in the old days to work. But again, as I say, there was a lot more freedom. You had a lot more flexibility and you weren't constrained. And, yeah, I mean, people did get up to mischief, but there you go. You don't want to know that. But it was fun. As I say, a lot more fun.
Yeah, thank you.